BDNG podcast. My name is Tina McKenzie and I am the Education Development Lead for the BDNG. I hope you enjoy listening to the BDNG podcast and find them beneficial to your practice. These podcasts are sponsored by Amaril. Amaril has no influence over the content of these podcasts. Happy listening.
Hello and welcome to another BDNG episode, In Conversation With. My name is Emma Button and I am the Events Education Lead for the BDNG. Today, the BDNG is in conversation with David Clements, who is a Macmillan skin cancer nurse specialist, and Paula Oliver, who is an independent nurse consultant. And they are both here to talk about PDT, what it's for, and where it's being used. So welcome, both of you. I guess I'll start with you, Paula. Could you tell me a little bit more about yourself and how you're interested in PDT and how this came about?
Oh, hi, Emma and David. Lovely to speak to you today as well. Thank you for having me. I have been a PDT nurse for the last 22 years and actually have found it as a really, really useful treatment option and have enjoyed training lots of people across the UK. So I've been in it a long time. Topical photodynamic therapies are a treatment that we've used historically in the UK since the mid-1990s. And it's a treatment for non-melanoma skin cancers, certain non-melanoma skin cancers and precancerous lesions as well. Not everyone's an advocate of PDT, but it takes place in most hospitals around the United Kingdom. NHS hospitals and private centres as well. And when we started off initially doing PDT, we were using conventional PDT, which was using a red light to activate the drug. About 10 years ago, the pharmaceutical companies got a licence to deliver natural daylight PDT, which meant we could activate the drug with natural daylight, which was pretty much a game changer, but of course it's seasonal and we have to think about the weather in the UK. And guess what, this year hasn't been great.
It has rained.
And just briefly, the newer application as well moving forward, and it is very new in the UK, is artificial daylight PDT. And this is actually going back to using a machine, a light source that mimics natural daylight. But as I say, that's very new and only beginning to start off in the United Kingdom. So in essence, we need to use a prodrug, so a photosensitizing drug to lesional skin. We need to use a light of a specific wavelength that will activate that drug in the tumour cells, and it's very selective into the tumour cells. We need oxygen in the tissue, so molecular oxygen. And if we have those three components, we get a photochemical reaction which will destroy those cells. So the science behind it is really very complicated, but actually it's a very nice procedure to be involved in. And we celebrate it in the UK because it's a nurse-led service generally. In Europe and other countries around the world, and I guess because they've got more private healthcare settings, it's a more or less a medical doctor that's doing the treatments. But guess what? In the UK, we're the nurses that are out there doing it, and it's a great thing to be involved with. So I think that's it, sort of kind of in a nutshell, really.
So I guess I would ask, what sort of patients, you said for the non-melanoma skin cancers, what sort of patients do you tend to use it on? Is there a specific cohort or a cohort that you would avoid?
No, that's a good question, Emma, because obviously there are two or three photosensitizers currently on the market in the United Kingdom that are licensed for photodynamic therapy, and depending on which molecule of drug you're using, generally we're treating actinic keratoses, we're treating Bowen's disease, so squamous cell carcinoma in situ, and we can treat basal cell carcinomas, both superficial and nodular, although most dermatology teams would probably are more likely to treat the superficial lesions. So those are the sort of three diagnoses that are generally being treated on label in the UK.
Right, okay. And where can it be used on the body?
Anywhere, really, anywhere at all. There are no real contraindications, and I've treated patients with in quite sensitive areas, can I say, without going into too much detail. But so actually anywhere on the body. I mean, we avoid the sort of mucous membranes areas as such, but generally, you know, head, neck, trunk, limbs, feet. So anywhere, really, there's no real exclusion there.
So I guess, why would you choose PDT over another possible treatment pathway? For example, if you were potentially considering David in your clinic, if it was a lesion for removal, how would you identify it was a lesion that was more suitable for PDT?
A very good question. I think the reason that PDT is really popular in our clinic is you're able to actually treat several lesions at the same time. So a lesion that, if we have somebody who presents with a large area of actinic keratosis, from the patient perspective, you know, there are lots of treatment options, but somebody wouldn't tolerate an entire scalp being blasted with cryotherapy. Or it might be somebody who's not very good at adhering to doing a topical cream, you know, for applying for themselves up to 4 weeks. It might be that somebody has lesions or that they can't reach, they can't apply topical creams themselves. And what's really nice about, in my opinion, and a lot of my patients, their feedback is, we treat once and we can treat a larger area, multiple lesions at the same time. So patient's happy and reduces clinic appointments for us.
And is it painful?
So I think conventional can be, can't it, David? You know, it's well documented in the literature that conventional PDT, when we use the red light to activate the drug, can be uncomfortable for some patients. And it does vary because, you know, some patients are absolutely fine and some patients will, you know, saying, turn the machine off, you know. And actually it's strange because it's a non-thermal red light we're using, but we think it's the photochemical reaction and affecting the nerve endings, and hence some patients get more discomfort than others. But we do always have a pain policy in place, which was part of the BAD guidance, the service guidance. So we have ways of managing that, don't we, David? We can spray water.
Absolutely.
I guess it's always dependent on the patient, isn't it? And what, you know, you listen to what the pain is what the patient says it is. So I guess is that how you, when you're saying, you know, lots of ways of managing pain, I guess the first thing is to listen to your patient.
Absolutely. Some patients might come in advance with, they might take their own prophylactic and pain relief. But one of the absolute brilliant things about PDT is the introduction we've got of patients are able to do this treatment at home now as well. We have a home care kit.
And I wanted to ask you about that, actually, because Paula had mentioned there about some barriers with natural daylight PDT. And we know that the rain has not stopped recently. The clouds have been very grey, and obviously that can impact things. So tell me about this home PDT sort of initiative that you and Paula have been working on. So Paula's been working in conjunction with the trust that David works for, and what you've been up to.
Well, I've really, really had the pleasure. I'd just like to say that again, Paula. Pleasure of working with you.
Thank you, David. Likewise. You've got a fabulous clinic running.
And yeah, it's groundbreaking, the option that we are able to offer patients who, yeah, they might present. We might have a fully booked clinic and everybody's booked in, confirmed, and they arrive, but it's absolutely torrential rain outside. So no, we can't do the treatment if we've not got the room available to do conventional and we're planning to do daylight. Now we have an option. We can assess patients, and if they're suitable and they're compliant and they understand, because it is a regime, but we're able to provide instructions and patients can take the treatment home and actually apply it themselves, which is having such a really positive impact on our clinic for a day like today, where it would be impossible to do photodynamic therapy.
So perhaps could you tell me, David, like, how did you arrange this? So how from sort of the beginning? So obviously you must have contacted Paula, and the pair of you must have had a conversation about perhaps some challenges that you're facing at the moment.
That's exactly what it was, challenges. For example, we in the NHS, I'm not sure if anybody else is aware, but we do have a bit of, I think I heard you say this phrase before, Emma, there's not much room at the inn. So we struggle with rooms, we struggle with, you know, we have our lamps that we use for the conventional photodynamic therapy, but when we don't have access to the rooms, or there isn't a clinic available, we were just looking at alternative options that patients can do themselves, so that we have a list of patients that are suitable for the treatment that we want them to be treated, not waiting for an available clinic.
But David and I, we met last year, didn't we, David, at in Brighton, at the BDNG PDT study day. And we had a great day. And I have to say, I completely admire David, because he has fought hard to get this service up and running back in his hospital. And, you know, sometimes you just feel like giving up, don't you? And you feel you're banging your head against the brick wall. But no, David was like, you know, persistent, and he's got there this year. So fantastic, David. Well done.
Well done, David.
Thank you, Paula. My patients are extremely grateful to you. Thank you.
I guess if I was a patient and I came and sat in front of you, and you felt I was suitable for this treatment, and I was suitable for the home treatment, would you be assessing me to see if I was suitable? Does that make sense? Like, if I was sat in front of you and you thought, actually, I feel this is someone that would be able to manage this. Is that something you do on an individual basis with each patient?
Emma, can I just, before David gives that lovely answer, because I know he's got all this absolutely fantastic consultation process, but just to remind us all that actually when we're talking about PDT with home treatment and daylight, we are talking about actinic keratoses as the diagnosis. And I'm not sure if I made that clear in the beginning, so apologies if I didn't. But yeah, so it's actinic keratoses in terms of what David would be treating with the home treatment pack. So yeah, sorry, David, you carry on.
No, that's fine. That's right. But, and funnily enough, that's a really big question, Emma, because sitting here in front of you, absolutely, you're 100% suitable, but it's listening for those little things behind. So we have a very clear set of instructions that patients are given, so that if, We can sit here and say how to do it in front of you, but people leave, people don't listen, people forget. So we give a very clear set of instructions with clear timing guidelines. But we do have patients that we have barriers as well, where we have patients who they're not able to follow simple instructions. So there are, every patient is assessed completely individually.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. And as you say, I think the day that I was with David and we were in clinic, and I think you had about five or six patients, David, didn't you? It was hammering down with rain outside, but they were all up for it, weren't they? We were lucky that day. They were all very suitable and had the capacity to go off and do this in their own time when it wasn't raining. and they were just so grateful. So I think it's exciting that we've got the option, basically, I think.
What's been really wonderful as well, Paul, since that clinic that we did do, when I've been seeing patients back in clinic to reassess and see how they got along with doing it at home, seeing their results, they are over the moon. They're delighted, and it gives them a real sense of empowerment as well, which is so important. Because a lot of patients do, they feel that they rely on us a lot, but it gives when patients are able to do things for themselves, they're delighted.
When you think of, you know, generally we are, and we've got some fantastic treatments for actinic keratoses out there, lots of different topical treatment options, and all the others we just give them a prescription and send them off and say get on with it, really, don't we? And yet we sort of hold the hands of our patients a little bit more with PDT, because historically it's been a hospital-based treatment, but now we've got this availability, really, of as you said, you know when you did your consultation that day with all your patients, David, you know, thorough consultation, thorough assessment, thorough explanation, consent and everything. You know, and I'm so pleased to hear that they were pleased with their outcomes and the treatment that they went through. That's brilliant.
It was nice, isn't it, to get your positive feedback. Do you, if you sent them out with, I'm assuming you sent them out with packs, is that right? Like a kit, or do they bring that back, David, so that you can see it's being used, for example, or is it?
No, what happens is the packs that we actually provide them with is, it's not even just the medication for the photodynamic therapy. It's the right, the proper routine to prep the skin prior to applying the treatment.
Right.
So for some people, it is actually, it can be a little bit complicated. It's, if you think about, even if you related it to a skincare regime and you said, okay, let's cleanse, try and exfoliate, moisturize, serum, mask. We have a step-by-step. So it's very clear for patients.
Yeah. And what about sunscreen? Is that part of this?
Sunscreen, absolutely. It's actually part of the kit that we include with the treatment. It's actually one of the obviously rare occasions where we'll actually be encouraging our patients who have got sun damage, or
they do find that a bit bizarre, don't they, David?
so sunscreen is absolutely a key player in the routine in their pack.
They think we're mad, Emma. And they think, well, you know,
as well, but we give them the sunscreen that we want them to use.
Oh, that's brilliant. That's fantastic. Oh, well, it's so nice to hear that nurses, you know, are continuing to be quite pioneering and forward thinking, and that's carrying on, and that this stays with a nurse-led service here in the UK. Paula, do you think this is something that could be rolled out further? Are you potentially hoping to work with other hospitals? What do you think?
No, I think it will definitely gain popularity, Emma. I think when, going back a few years ago, when we hit the pandemic, the photobiology group up in Scotland, they were one of the lead clinicians up there, was sort of questioning, in terms of the BAD as well, you know, our patients that were waiting to have PDT through the pandemic, basically, you know, it was a real issue because the clinics weren't happening, everything was cancelled, quite rightly so, in a way. But I think the question at that point was posed of, you know, what can we do about this? Is there another way we can deliver daylight PDT and the patients could do this at home? So there was another reason why they started to do it years back. But I think, you know, rural areas, you know, places, patients that are living in rural areas and have to travel a long way into hospital. But, you know, the main barrier has been the weather, as David's mentioned, because, you know, you book a clinic with six patient slots. And as David said, it's pouring with rain. You know, we can't afford that, time to waste that time. So it does give us another option. And I guess there will be clinicians or dermatology teams that don't want to move this sort of in this way, in this direction. But I certainly think it has a place and can solve some of the issues and barriers that certainly a lot of departments come up against, and certainly David's experienced them too.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you so much, both of you, for explaining to me, you know, what PDT is, and for our listeners as well that enjoy the BDNG podcast, and, you know, this initiative that you've taken, David. I guess if anyone's listening that wants to know more about it, they could touch base with the BDNG. And I'm more than happy to facilitate that and help put you in contact with either David and Paula if you have questions around this. And hopefully in the future, we'll see more innovative work. So thank you, both of you. Thank you for coming on today.
Thank you, Emma. Thank you, David.
Thank you.
Welcome to this episode of the BDNG podcast. My name is Tina McKenzie and I am the Education Development Lead for the BDNG. I hope you enjoy listening to the BDNG podcast and find them beneficial to your practice. These podcasts are sponsored by Amaril. Amaril has no influence over the content of these podcasts. Happy listening!